Busy time of year. March Madness is rolling on as we speak. High school semi-state basketball is this weekend. You'll be involved with that. The college basketball coaching carousel revolves and revolves and revolves around. So we have plenty of things to do, and we'll get a little help from our good friend Zach Osterman this morning, who checks in from the Indianapolis Star. Hello, Dad. How are you?
Hey, Glass. How are we doing?
Good. Congratulations. The last time we talked, we told everybody you were getting ready for a baby right around the corner, and I didn't know that baby was listening. I'm sorry for the quick delivery there.
I don't think you're more at fault than anyone else.
Mother Nature tends to be unbeaten in these things, and so baby Osterman is here. Jackson is with us, listening here on a Friday morning. It's his first time hearing you on this program, so let's be good there. Say hello to my good friend Dr. Dave Piller, Zach, if you would.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing great. You okay? Getting some sleep?
Yeah, no complaints. Yeah, just enough, I guess.
Good.
Now, it's not about him. It's about whether his wife's getting enough sleep and getting enough everything. Dr. Dave is going to be refereeing the Forest Park Cecina game. Is that correct?
That's correct.
At the Hatchet House in Washington. That's one semi-state that's going to be a very busy site on Saturday. There's also another busy semi-state site, the Seymour Barney Scott Gymnasium. Zach, why should Indiana fans be paying attention to that on Saturday?
Well, obviously the Romeo Langford implication.
And Romeo playing for New Albany, taking on Warren Central. Warren Central, Chris Byers, former Bloomington South assistant, IU basketball manager, 30-0, New Albany 25-1. The reason we're bothering you with Romeo Langford is we did hear some news from his father that the Indianapolis Star reported earlier in the week.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's always kind of been a moving target for his decision, even as they pushed it back to the spring, and there was some suggestion, that Romeo could decide at or around the McDonald's All-American game, which is March 28th in Atlanta. But that would, I don't have the IHSAA schedule right in front of me, but that would run him right up against the state final. So if New Albany were to win this weekend and play to the state final, then he would essentially have to turn around from the state championship and head straight to the McDonald's game.
That's absolutely correct. That is the timeline.
The added layer there is that he has expressed interest, and at least his father has expressed interest. If you ever talk to Romeo Langford, he doesn't say a heck of a lot. He's a pretty level-headed kid. But the family has expressed interest in making one more visit to Indiana before they decide. And the problem is, obviously, they don't. I'd have to look at the schedule to know whether or not players can even make visits right now. I don't think they can. But you aren't going to, even if you could, you aren't going to want to take a college visit in the middle of a state championship run. It's not something that's anybody wants to do in terms of either the optics of it, or frankly, if you're a guy like Romeo Langford, you just want to be focused on winning state. And he's talked a lot about how important a second state title going out in his senior year at New Albany would be to him. So essentially, the news that the decision will not come until April still leaves that window open for Indiana to get one more visit, which would be their third since Hoosier Hysteria. It's so hard to predict these things right now, considering, again, how closely guarded Langford and his family are with information surrounding the recruitment, but I don't think Indiana getting another visit would be a bad thing at all.
I thought I read in that article they said something between April 13th and the 30th, so you'd think the second half of the month. Is that because of these extra All-Star games he's been added to recently?
I think that is probably part of the reason, is bringing in not just McDonald's, but Jordan Brand, and I think now Nike Hoop Summit as well. And I know people want to look at that and say, well, you know, this game is sponsored by this shoe company and this game is sponsored by this shoe company.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
I don't know how impactful realistically that's going to be. You know, I think if there's always a way to disprove the theory that the shoe company is the one calling all the shots. Now, what we've seen and heard and learned from FBI wiretaps is that there are cases where the shoe company is calling all the shots. I don't think this is one of them.
Let me ask you a dumb question. That seems to be my I excel at that in this. He's been added to a couple of these games, quote unquote, late. Why? Why wasn't he in the early? Is there something? Did someone nationally just figure out that he's okay? He's pretty good. How does the system work?
Well, obviously the McDonald's game he was invited to from the off, and I think Hoop Summit, if I'm not mistaken, he was also listed on the initial roster. So the only one that it seemed like he wasn't involved in immediately or kind of had to be added to was the Jordan Brand game, which is a Nike-sponsored game. I believe it's in New York every year, though they might move it around a little bit. And actually, that did kind of seem to perk up a lot of fans, particularly IU fans, because Jordan Brand is Nike's sort of elite, I guess the best thing you could say is response to the McDonald's All-American game. The McDonald's game still holds by far the most cachet in all of this, but Jordan Brand is kind of Nike's way of at least having its own exclusive event. And obviously, again, if you want to get into the shoe company politics and the conspiracy theories, Vanderbilt is the only Nike school left on Romeo Langford's list. IU and Kansas are both Adidas. And so there were lots of people who were thinking, well, you know, does this mean that, you know, that Vanderbilt is out or whatever? He was added later on. My guess is probably more that I wouldn't say he was overlooked, but my guess is that he was probably put down the list somewhere because there were more prominent Nike kids and somebody just forgot to add him back in somewhere along the line. But he was. I mean, he's the number five player in the country.
Yeah, that's kind of what was kind of weird, saying how do you leave him off these?
Russell Athletic, guys, you know, those
champion.
That level of player is going to be on any elite all-star game roster, and Romeo found his way again. I wouldn't read too much into it, other than simply to say that if a player that good is going to play in the most exclusive events.
Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. He checks in from the Indianapolis Star. You can find him on Twitter, at Zach Osterman. Pretty easy to find there. All of his stuff that's going on. So we'll keep an eye on the Romeo saga, and we'll obviously have you pop in and help us out with all of that. Sadly for Indiana basketball fans, Hoosiers not in the NCAA tournament. But Indiana, for the second year in a row, has made news to a degree, to a level of degree, on the first day of the tournament. 365 days ago, Tom Crean was removed as Indiana's head basketball coach, and yesterday he was hired as Georgia's basketball coach. How does that affect Indiana's bottom line in the buyout that they agreed with Coach Crean a year ago, and what does this mean going forward, obviously, for Coach Crean in Georgia?
Yeah, I'd have to, I mean, I to drill down to the most specific dollars and cents, I'd probably have to submit some open records requests. But essentially, as memory and my notes served me from last year, Indiana was on the hook for, I think, somewhere between $4 and $4.5 million. I think it was $4 million, spread out over the last 3 years of Tom Crean's tenure. Which would have been, if it was just being paid, if it was amortized evenly each year, it would have been about $1.33 to $1.34 million. And like many contracts of that kind, Tom Crean's contract contained offset language, which essentially said that the university's buyout obligations would be mitigated if he took another job in basketball, whether it be coaching. Oftentimes that also applies to analyst work. Now, I don't know what kind of compensation Tom Crean was getting from ESPN, but there's a decent chance that Indiana's buyout obligations were already slightly lowered due to his work as an analyst this past season with the Worldwide Leader. But we can know, obviously, through open records requests and those sorts of things, what public schools are paying. Apparently, Georgia is putting him on a contract that is over $3 million a year annually. I believe I saw that report from the Athens Banner-Herald down in Georgia. And that would, in theory, wipe out any further financial obligation Indiana has.
Because that was similar to what he was making here, correct?
Yes, yeah, it is. And what's important, though, is it's more than what Indiana owed him over the rest of his contract. And I'm not sure how all the legalities of these things work. I don't know if Indiana paid more up front or less up front in the first year post buyout, if you will. But one way or the other, Indiana might, I believe Indiana, if my math and my assumptions are right, and, you know, let's be fair, I'm very often my math and my assumptions can both be wrong, but I feel pretty confident this time. Indiana should have been on the hook for a little over $2.5 million left in buyout, sort of, you know, buyout clauses and buyout obligations due to the terms of Tom Crean's contract. That should be null and void at this point.
Well, there you go. So that's I don't want to say closes the chapter, because the chapter of Indiana basketball goes on forever. I mean, we saw Kelvin Sampson on the front page of the HT sports section earlier this week. Mike Davis is going to play today in his game. So the near history here of the 2000s and beyond has been interesting.
Zach, you got to say that Tom kind of wrote the book, though, this past year on what to do with your year off.
He did.
I mean, that was between the analyst work and being a positive presence on social media, lots of praise. I mean, then the SI thing with him traveling the country, that was he kind of showed some other people how to do it, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he actually, you know, really, and I say this, I always couch it as saying this from an objective point of view, but I will stand my ground against anybody and say that I always thought Tom Crean was probably a better basketball mind than he got credit for from some segments of the IU fan base. I'm not saying that Indiana made the wrong decision to let him go. I'm not saying that, you know, all that hadn't run its course. That's a totally different discussion. But I think that what people have learned about Tom Crean through his analyst work at ESPN is he does see basketball very, very well. He is very knowledgeable in the sport, and I think it's probably done him some good in terms of his, I don't know, image sort of seems a little bit like a sterile term, but I think it's probably just kind of helped show people a different side of sort of his approach to the game, I guess, would maybe be the best way I could say it. I don't know if he, you know, needed a lot of, again, I hate the word image, but image rehabilitation or anything like that. But I do think it certainly, I think the country has sort of woken up to Tom Crean, the, you know, sort of the basketball thinker a little bit more this season. And now he'll go back into coaching, which my impression was always that he was not somebody who was going to be comfortable sitting on the sidelines. He wanted to get back into coaching.
Well, you see what these coaches make. Who the hell want to do any analyst work? My goodness, if they're going to give you $3.2 million a season, hop on, grab a Power 5 job and get rolling. Do you think him sitting out a year, picking and going to Georgia, the best case scenario? It only matters to him, I guess, really. But was this, quote-unquote, the best job, or was it the job? Well, his $3.2 million salary is going to move him into the top 12 nationally, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like a job he was intensely interested in. You know, speaking as someone who grew up in Georgia.
And the Pitt job, and the Louisiana State job, and the Alabama job.
Georgia in particular, I've never seen Georgia administratively commit these kinds of resources to basketball. I mean, it is a football-first school. You could argue, frankly, that at least culturally, tennis is more important at Georgia. Baseball is more important at Georgia than basketball. It's not a place that's had consistent success. Obviously, there have been, you know, spots here and there. Hugh Durham, Tubby Smith spent a couple of years there. Jim Herrick spent an ill-fated couple of years there. But it's this kind of commitment, going out, obviously spending this kind of money, and also going out and hiring a coach with Tom Crean's resume is a pretty dramatic step forward for Georgia. Some of it's probably reactive. You know, Kentucky is Kentucky, but you look around the SEC, Bruce Pearl at Auburn, Rick Barnes at Tennessee, you know, Ben Howland at Mississippi State. There are actually a number of pretty well-credentialed coaches in that league now, not all of them doing as well as others, but still, South Carolina was just recently, of course, in the Final Four. So
Florida. Texas A&M, Missouri.
That Georgia would if Georgia wants to be serious at all about basketball, they're going to have to up their commitment. But this is a bigger step forward than I can remember the program taking at any other point. So
Kermit Davis at Mississippi.
It's going to be a tough job for him. I do believe that. I think it'd be a tough job for anybody. But I also think that this is kind of uncharted territory in terms of Georgia's willingness to commit a lot of resources to basketball, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out.
Absolutely. So there you go. Tom Crean hired at Georgia as of yesterday, the former Indiana coach, 9 years here. How many years did you follow him on the beat? All nine?
Yeah, I was around for all nine of his seasons in some form or fashion.
Well, that's why we wanted to have you on this morning to comment on them. Someone that's been there for the entire ride and can help us shed a little light on what it means for Indiana, what it means to Georgia moving forward. Obviously, Arizona was the big surprise last night. Anything else catch your eye in the first night of the tournament? Big 12 or Pac 12's out. They're done. That's got to be some, big conference.
That didn't surprise me too much. I think I was a little bit. It felt. Geez, everything ran together yesterday.
This it did, didn't when, it? 16 games, no break.
When you've never been a parent, and then all of a sudden you're a parent again. I certainly thought.
Were you impressed by? Let me ask you a better question instead of it giving
Oklahoma,
you.
Oklahoma. I was going to say, I certainly thought Oklahoma proved its worth by going out as quickly as it did. I was impressed with Texas Tech. I thought Stephen F. Austin would be a tough draw, and they were. And my impression, fair or not, of Texas Tech a lot of the season has been that they're just not a team that's got a lot of nous in tight moments, certainly away from home. But, you know, that they had a multiple chances to kind of fold and take the upset against Stephen F. Austin and really close that game strong. Famous last words, I'm sure they'll lose on Saturday. But
that's right.
I suddenly look at a team that I feel like could make a strong run to the second weekend that maybe I didn't really think was there before.
That was their wake-up call to get them going. How about Chris Holtmann? It's his first year at Ohio State. He was 3-0 in first-round games at Butler, make it 4-0 after yesterday. But he had some interesting comments afterwards. I briefly want your thoughts on those.
Yeah, he said something about, like, thanks to all the journalists who picked against us.
Those same journalists that picked him as coach of the year, those journalists?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was Rick Bozich from
that was his quote.
Sort of said, you know, when the journalists picked him as Big Ten or National Coach of the Year, they were smart. When they picked him to lose a game in the NCAA tournament, they're dumb. You know, I get coaches are always looking for motivation. I get especially this time of year when you're dealing with 19, 20, and 21-year-olds. Guys are tired mentally, physically, emotionally. You need to find ways to motivate them and really, really kind of drive them. But, you know, look, man, you're at Ohio State.
$180 million academic budget.
Yeah, and you finished top four in a Power Five conference. You had the Big Ten Player of the Year on your roster. Like, let's not. You know, even when you're at Butler, it's harder to play the underdog card than it really used to be now that you're in the Big East.
If you're at Garner Webb, maybe, but you're not at Garner Webb anymore.
But it's Ohio State. You know, come on. I mean, it's not.
That was interesting.
And it's also not Ohio State injured all year, snuck into the tournament through the back door, now trying to make a statement about who they really are. I mean, this is an Ohio State team that's the top five seed. You know, Dan Dockich has them going to the Final Four, and you can have a different conversation about what you think of Dan's picks for the Final Four or anybody else's picks. But in general, you know,
this team has not been overlooked.
Like you said, when your athletics department budget comfortably stretches into nine figures, you lose all underdog status.
Awesome. Thank you. You and Jackson enjoy your first tournament as father and son. It's a great time, and we'll get caught up with you soon.
Sounds good, Glass. Thanks for having me.
Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, new dad. Look at that, having to juggle 16 games, having to juggle diapers. You got to juggle. Make sure you got diapers. Every time you go, just pick up diapers. That's what I told him. I said, so what? You have a lot of them. Well, guess what they do.